In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. In this parable today of the wedding feast, the king invites multitudes of guests to attend the festivities. And a good many, we are told, are simply unwilling to come, unwilling to join in the party. So the king sends out additional servants begging these people, begging these multitudes to please come attend his party. He says, everything is ready for you. Please come. But they slough off this second invitation and don't. One goes to his farm, it says, another to his business. Worst of all, some are so full of hatred and judgment, they attack the king's servants, bringing the invitation. So the king sends out even more servants. He says, go out to the highways and compel people to come to the feast. And then it says in the parable, it says, both the good and the bad. Everyone is invited. Nobody is excluded. The only thing keeping a person out of this heavenly feast is refusing the invitation. Now we're going to get Luke's version of this parable during Advent coming up in just a couple months here. And Luke spends more time, he spends more ink on the excuses, on the reasons people have for refusing paradise. But since we get Matthew's version of the parable today, let's look at a detail that only occurs in Matthew's version. The wedding has taken place. The party is underway. There's feasting. There's music. There's dancing. And the king is out mingling among the guests. And he spots someone there without a wedding garment. So the king goes up to this guest and says, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And it says, this person is speechless. They have no response. So the king has the person cast out into the outer darkness. Now, didn't I just say that the king invites everyone, good and bad? Didn't I just say that no one is turned away? What about this person? It sure sounds like they're being turned away. Well, yes, but really, no. Really, no. When I was a kid, this part of the parable, it really bothered me, actually. It really bothered me. The servants went out, it says, to the highways, and they bring in the poor and the suffering, and then the king stands there and judges this person by the clothes they're wearing. And my kid mind said, well, it's not their fault. They're poor. You bring in poor people, of course they're not going to have good clothes. Well, my kid brain got not just one, but two things wrong in that misunderstanding. The first error is that this guest didn't have to have a wedding garment of their own in the first place. The king provided the garment when you arrived. Nobody could afford a proper garment for this feast. So the king must have this gigantic wardrobe where each guest is given a garment upon entry. It's like a posh New York restaurant where a sport coat is required to enter. And if a guy shows up without one, the restaurant usually has a closet full of them so that no patrons are embarrassed or turned away. They'd say, like, perhaps you'd be more comfortable in this. So my first error was that this had nothing to do with poverty. It's because the guest refused to put on what was provided, what was given them. Now, my second kid brain error was thinking that this had anything to do with clothes in the first place. This is a parable. So the truth lies underneath the service, and the clothes are merely symbolic. So what is this wedding garment that the guest refused to wear? Well, we're actually going to hear it from the Savior's mouth in next Sunday's gospel. But since I don't want to keep you in suspense, I'm going to give you a sneak peek today. In next Sunday's gospel, a religious lawyer is going to come up to Jesus and ask him, what is the greatest commandment in all of God's law, in everything God has revealed? And you may remember how Jesus answers. Jesus says there are actually two complementary commandments that sum up divine life. The first is what? Love God. Love God with your whole self. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your body, your whole being. And then Jesus says, a second complementary commandment is also love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says love is the whole law. Love is the summary of God's revelation. God is love, and therefore love is paradise. Love is the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven is love. So I bet you can guess, what is this wedding garment that this invited, deeply loved guest refuses to wear for themselves? The refusal to wear the garment is a refusal to love in some capacity or another. It's what the king can't do for them. The king can give them the love, but the king can't make them actually love. And it could have shown up in any number of ways. It could be a refusal to forgive. It could be despising this or that group of people. It could be harboring hatred. Maybe there's someone at the feast that this guest doesn't think should be there. Whatever this guest's specific issues were, the core problem was a refusal to love. And this gets back to that original question, does the king turn anyone away? And even here, the answer is no. The king invites this guest multiple times, we're told in the story, at least three times. Then the king showers this person, showers him or her, with love and blessings and this feast and music and dancing. And when the king discovers them lacking in their own love, lacking this wedding garment that they in fact provided, the king calls them friend. He goes up and says, friend, why are you without your wedding garment? He gives them another chance to put on love. And still the guest is speechless. He or she has nothing to say. That means they don't want it. They don't want it. They don't want to love unconditionally the way the king loves. And so the king isn't so much kicking this person out as the guest is refusing this invitation. The feast is love. The feast is love. Paradise is love. To refuse to love is to refuse the feast. And the king sending the person into the outer darkness isn't a punishment. It's a revelation. It's showing what this person chose of their own free will. So I spent a fair amount of time on this one guest, but I don't want anyone to leave with the impression that that person was the heart of the story. The heart of the story is this loving parent king, the one who throws the greatest wedding party ever known for his child, a love feast to beat all love feasts. That's the heart of the story. And this parent king invites everyone, good and bad, multiple times begs people to come, calls everyone friend and means it, offers everyone a garment of love greater than any love we could conjure from within. This is the kingdom of heaven, because this is our God. Amen.